Morning, everybody. If you have your Bible, turn to Haggai. And when you get there, stand up, please. I have to find it. Chapter 1. Again, when you get it, please stand up. Starting in verse 2, it says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come that the time of the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways." All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, and I just pray that you will speak through me, Lord, that it won't be me speaking, it'll be you, it'll be your words, it'll be my voice, Lord, and I just pray you'll help me, Lord, to say the things that you want me to say, Lord. I pray you'll prepare the hearts of the kids, Lord, and just to help them pay attention, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I've read this numerous times, and I like the saying, consider your ways. And what it's talking about is the people that were living there were supposed to be following God. Well, God's house was lying waste, but they had their houses. That's what it talks about in verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, which means your own house, and my house lies waste? What they were doing was they were supposed to be building God's house, but they did not do that. They were taking care of their own houses. Now, I want to talk to you about not necessarily God's house, because this is God's house, and some people say, well, God's house is heaven. Well, heaven is perfect because God made it, and God's there. But I want to talk about God's house is you. And if I'm going to read some verses to you. If you have Christ in you, then you are God's house. Bible's a home is one fixed residence, a dwelling place. Now, turn to John 14. Verses 16 and 17. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 2 Timothy 1:14 says that the good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So we are a dwelling place for Jesus Christ. You are the home of the Holy Spirit. Now, God made you. God made everybody. So God made, when you build a house, you build a frame. You see all these new developments going up, and you have all these houses. These houses, people, and before I get too far into the message, the people always want a new house. Everybody wants to get a new house because new houses look really nice. New houses are, you know, nowadays they build these big houses, and they look really great. They look like they're built so well. But I worked on a lot of those houses. The houses that you get nowadays, for the most part, like the... I'm not going to say which ones because some of you might live in them, but some people get these houses, and they look really nice, but the material that they use, the foundations, aren't really built that well. Instead of putting plywood on the outside of the wall, on the outside of the house, they put quarter-inch cardboard, and by code, they're allowed to do that. They put quarter-inch cardboard around it, and then they put siding around it. And as we were walking through a development with my wife one time, I said, "Come here." I said, Look, this house. This is what the outside is. Now, our house is an older house, and it has plywood on it. But that house, you could probably punch a hole through it if you wanted to. They're built really, really thin. They use really bad material, but they look really nice. And people buy those houses all the time, but they have a lot of problems with them. Churches are the same way. You have all these big, huge churches that look really great from the outside, but on the inside, what do they really have in them? That's kind of what I want to talk to you guys about. You all look really good. You all have uniforms on. We all, you know, we can all really, you know, hopefully I look good because I have a suit on. We all look nice, but what is on the inside? What is on the inside is what matters. That's what makes a nice home. A house is just a building. We are just a building that God built. And all these companies build all these houses, but a lot of them sit vacant. God built everybody in the world. God made us all. A lot of people sit vacant, though. Christ isn't in them. Christ is waiting for them to invite him in to live in them. But a lot of houses stay vacant forever. But churches nowadays are... Everyone wants to go to a nice new church, a nice big church. You know, you have all these real big churches, but what is on the inside?
Right.
What is on the inside of you? We can all look nice, but what's on the inside is what really matters. And I wrote down some things. What makes a good home? Now, what would you guys say makes a good home? Just say a couple things. What makes a good home?
Kind people.
Kind people. Anybody else got anything? What makes a good home? What's that?
Love makes a good home.
I wrote down, love makes a good home. A clean home makes a nice home. Nobody wants to live in a filthy home. A place where you can have something to eat, good things to eat, food and water, good food. You always feel welcome there. A place you want to be. A home should be a place that you want to be at, not a place where you have to go home. I got to go home. It should be a place where you want to be, a place where you want to be home. And peaceful. Nobody likes a place that's always arguing and fighting. Because a bad home is no love, dirty and filthy, no good food, there's always fighting, and a place you don't want to be at. And there's a lot of people that don't want to go to their home. They don't want to be at their house. When I was growing up, I didn't want to be at my home. I was always somewhere else because I didn't want to be home. That's not a good home. I want my kids to want to be at my house. And for the most part, I think they do. And they say, well, they're, you know, I say we're homebodies because we enjoy our house. We enjoy our home. Amen. How do you make your home? Speaking not spiritually, but speaking as kids and your house and your household. Do you guys have a home that's loving? Do you have a home that's clean? Do you clean your room? Or do you make it a mess and your mom and dad will clean it up? Do you have good food there? Do your mom and dad make you eat vegetables and fruit? You say, well, that's not good food. I just want to eat junk. Well, junk tastes good, but it's really not good for you. But is there good food there? Do you guys argue with your siblings if you have siblings? Do you argue with your parents? Is it a peaceable place, or is it a place of fighting? Is it a place that, it's like, man, it's just aggravating to be home because someone's always fighting with somebody. Hopefully you don't have parents that fight all the time, because if you have parents that fight all the time, kids don't want to be around that. But if you have kids that fight all the time, parents don't want to be around that either. So just remember that when all you kids are fighting with each other, it aggravates your parents, and your parents don't want to be at home.
Amen.
You make it so your parents don't want to be there. You can say, well, my parents have to be there. Yeah, they have to be there, but they don't want to be there because of what you're doing. Are you doing anything to make your house a good home, fleshly speaking, of your physical home? What do you do for your home? Do you clean up? Do you do all those things you should do to make it a nice home? Because I'm sure your parents have trained you to do that, have trained you to clean your room, pick up your clothes. Hopefully you'll help out doing dishes. You'll be a helpful person. Now I want to speak to you about your spiritual home. Your spiritual home, now when you get a new home, it's nice and clean. When you go into a new house, there's nothing in the house. It's empty. There's no furniture. There's no clutter. If you live in a house for a long time, you get a lot of clutter. You keep a lot of stuff. I have a lot of junk in my house that I've recently gotten rid of. But as you have your home, you collect stuff. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. Your spiritual home, when you got saved, when you asked Christ to come in and dwell in you, he cleaned up your house. You started fresh with a brand new house. You were made clean. He cleaned everything up. But now, what do you do with that? When you have a home, you have to have upkeep on a home. You have to maintain your house. And that's one thing that I hate doing, is maintaining my house. Because it's a hard work. The roof might leak, you got to fix the roof. You got to clean out your gutters. You got to cut your grass. You got to do all these things to keep your house looking nice. But just making it look nice doesn't really make it a great home. Because a lot of people have nice homes, they look really nice, but on the inside where nobody can see it, we had some people that we knew that wouldn't let anybody in their house. You would go knock on a door and they would come out of the door and talk to you. They would never invite you in because their house was full of junk and it was a mess and it was dirty because they didn't take care of it. Is that the way your house is, spiritually speaking? Do you look nice on the outside, but on the inside you're full of garbage and you're full of things that shouldn't be there that you need to get rid of, that you don't want to really throw away, you kind of want to hold on to them, you kind of hoard everything? We do that as Christians. We live in the world and we take worldly things in us. We take worldly things that we keep. We don't really want to get rid of them. We know we should as Christians. You'll hear a message or you're reading your Bible and you'll say, you know, I should really stop doing that. I should really get rid of that. But I really want to keep it though, so I'm going to just put it away, put it in a box. And then you keep that. You don't ever do anything with it, but you keep it. Now, when you keep all these things, more junk builds up. Christ, now you have to remember, Christ is living inside of you. So how are you making your home for him? Are you making it a home where he wants to be? Now, Christ is going to be there no matter what, because when you invite him in, he never leaves. He's kind of like your parents. He has to be there because that's what the Bible says. He has to stay. But do you make it enjoyable for him to stay? And you say, well, what do you mean? How do I make it enjoyable or not enjoyable? Do you do things that are pleasing to God? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. When you grieve somebody, kind of like when you fight and you argue with your parents, you grieve them. It hurts them. You grieve the Holy Spirit by doing things you shouldn't do. So what kind of home are you? Are you a home that Christ wants to be at? Are you a home that is loving towards him? Because I know you come to Christian school and you go to church, but there's a lot of people that have animosity towards Christ, that are Christian people. Do you have animosity towards Christ where you don't really want him to be, yeah, you know he's there, yeah, I'm going to heaven, I know all that, but I really don't want to do anything with him. I just want to ignore him. I just want him just to leave me alone. Are you like that? How would you like that if your parents were that way? If your parents just ignored you and didn't want anything to do with you? I don't want nothing to do with them. You would feel unwelcome. Do you make Christ feel that way? Is your house clean for Jesus Christ? What do you mean clean? Are you clean by the way you live your life? Do you listen to the radio and listen to things you shouldn't listen to? Do you talk and say things that you shouldn't say and hear things that you shouldn't hear when you're on Facebook or MySpace or on the radio that you're listening to songs you shouldn't listen to, or on your computer you can download on your MP3 players? Everybody has MP3 players. I don't, but most kids have them. They download music that their parents probably don't even know what they're downloading on them. They don't really know what they're listening to. They just know their kids listen. Oh, they're fine. They're Christian kids. They're listening, I'm sure, to Christian music. But are you really? Now, I can look at you and say, well, you all look like good kids. I can assume that you're all good kids because you're in a Christian school. But that wouldn't be, that's just like assuming all houses that look nice are really great homes to live in.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
But only you guys know what kind of home you are for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Only you and God. I can look at you and say, I can look at my son Jimmy and say, well, he looks like a good kid. He's got a tie on. Looks like he has, you know, he's a nice kid. He could be, you know, a nice home for Jesus Christ. I can look at all of you and say that, but I don't really know for sure. Only you do. Christ knows, and you know. Christ knows whether or not you're grieving him, and you should know that, because the Holy Spirit, when it grieves you, it makes you feel bad. It makes you have, if the Holy Spirit is in you, it makes you feel bad about the things you do. So when you're sitting on Facebook, and I don't have a Facebook, by the way, my wife does, and when you look on it, you're like, oh, I gotta delete that because that's some people that you add to your friends, and I don't know exactly how all that works. You add friends, friends add you, and then their stuff comes up on your screen or something like that. Sometimes things come up on the screen that you shouldn't be looking at.
Right. Yeah.
They say things that Christian people should not say, Christian people should not read, but we do it anyways.
Right.
That's making Christ live in a filthy home.
Amen.
When you're listening to that music. Even you can say Christian rock music, which there is no such thing as Christian rock music. Christian music is music that lifts up God and lifts up Christ.
Yes.
It's not about the beat. It's not about you, yeah, I like the song. Do you really like the song or do you just like the beat?
Right.
It has to be something that spiritually talks about Jesus Christ. That's Christian music. Christian music, everybody can say they have Christian music. I mean, there's so much Christian music out there. There's Christian rap, Christian rock, Christian reggae, Christian everything. You know why? Because they can make money.
Right.
Because all these Christian people still want to be with the world because they put their worldly stuff away in a box, but they really never got rid of it.
Right.
They put their worldly stuff away, but it's still there. So they, well, if I do Christian rock or Christian rap or Christian whatever, it says Christian, so it's got to be okay. So I'm okay by listening to that. You're not. That's not good. That's junk food for Jesus Christ. Good food is the bread of life.
Yeah.
This is the Bible. This is good food for Jesus, and it's good food for you. But Christ is the one living inside of you, so it's your responsibility to give him good food, which is this. Good music, which is music that uplifts him, Jesus Christ. The things you watch on TV. Brother Mark talked about this when he preached the other day. The things that you look at. The Bible talks about your eyes being your everything goes in your eyes and in your ears. Everything that goes inside of you is stuff that you see. What kind of shows do you watch? What kind of magazines do you look at? What kind of pictures do you look at on Facebook and MySpace? Because
right.
I know you can have MySpace and you have to have a certain code or nobody else can get into it. So you can lock your parents out of MySpace.
Yeah,
which, if your parents let you lock them out of MySpace, there's something wrong with your parents.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if my kids have Facebook or whatever they have on a computer, if I can't see what they're looking at, then they're not going to be allowed to be on it.
Amen.
Because it's my responsibility to see. Do you hide stuff so you can have things that you look at that you don't want no one else to see that you're looking at them?
Right.
But remember, you're making Jesus Christ, because he lives inside of you, look at those things.
Right.
You're making it to where he doesn't want to be in his home. Although he has to be there because he promised that he'll be with you forever. He has to be there, but it grieves him. He doesn't want to. It's like, oh, we're getting on MySpace again. We're looking at Facebook. Why are we watching these shows? What are you doing to me? Do you watch movies that you shouldn't watch that have sexual content in them? You say, well, I can't help it. All movies are like that nowadays. You cannot watch them. It's your choice to watch movies that have cussing in them, nudity in them, that have all those things in them. Video games that have all that stuff in them. All those things, it's your responsibility because Christ is living inside of you. Christ made you. Christ made us all. He wants a home to live in. You've asked him to live in your house. Now that you're living in he's living in your house, which is you, what kind of house are you? And I want you, as the Bible says, consider your ways. Consider means to think about. So consider, am I a good home for Jesus Christ? Am I being a good home that he wants to be at? A place where it's clean, a place where there's no fighting, a place where it's peaceful. Now the Bible talks about Christ gives you peace. Christ gives you everything that you need to have a good home. Now it's your job to maintain that home. Somebody might give you a new home and you can let it run down. You can let it fall apart. You can let it get moldy and get destroyed and get filthy. It was a new home. Somebody gave you a new home, but you destroyed it. Christ gives you a new home when he comes inside of you. Christ gives you that. Now it's your job to maintain your home. Are you doing that? As a Christian, and you say, well, I'm just a little kid, man. I'm in school. I don't want to have to maintain my home. I'll maintain my home when I buy a home. Sorry. You're already a home for Jesus. So it's your responsibility, no matter how old you are, to maintain your home. Are you doing that? Are you a home where Christ wants to be? Think about your own home. Is that a place where you want to be, your own house, your own home where your parents are? Do you want to be there? Do you enjoy being there? Is it some place you look forward to, say, I can go there and I can have peace and I get comfort going home? That's what Christ wants. Christ wants a place where he can live and it's peaceful and he's happy and he's getting fed good food and he's enjoying where he's living. Now, if we do all those things individually to keep our own homes, to keep our own houses for Christ, then we can build God's house. But if we don't have our own house in good order, then we can't build God's house. Because that's what the Bible's talking about in Haggai, is building God's house. But we have to build our individual God's house first. Then we can build this house, which is God's house, because then we'll have the desire to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But if you're not ever have a good home yourself for Jesus Christ, you're not going to have a desire to go tell anybody else about him. You're not going to. A lot of people, when they move into a neighborhood, they get a nice home, they'll tell their friends, hey, this is a great place to live. And that's why you get these people that move from like Cleveland, and they'll all move out to the country because they'll call each other and say, hey, this is a great community, great place to live, nice homes. And they build up the community, build up these developments. And that's what we should do as Christians. We should say, hey, you know, I have this great place. I have this great home. Jesus Christ is living inside of me. He made me a home. There's a lot of vacant homes out there. There's a lot of people that don't have Christ inside of them. There's a lot of people that walk around without Jesus Christ. Those are vacant homes for the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting to move in. Christ wants to move into everybody. Christ wants to be inside of everybody. He wants to save everybody. Do you have a desire to tell people about that? And say, hey, Jesus Christ lives inside of me, and what he does for me, what he's done for you, how he's changed your life, not just that he saved your soul from hell, and now you're going to get to go to heaven, but what has Christ done for you in your everyday life? How has he changed you? Has he changed you so you don't desire to watch those things, so you don't want to watch those things? Has he changed? He's changed me from what I used to be to what I am today, and he changes me every day. Christ is going to change you from now until the time you die. There's never going to be a time where you stop growing, never going to be a time where you stop learning about Christ, never going to be a time where you stop maintaining your house. You can't say, well, I'm a good Christian. I don't do all those things, so I'm fine the way I am. I'm just going to keep on going what I'm doing. Now, your parents bring you to church. Your parents obviously enrolled you in a Christian school. They're doing everything they can to make you a good home for Jesus Christ. But what are you doing? Just coming to church? Just coming to the school? You're not, and you don't ever read your Bible at home. You don't ever think about God at home. You say, well, I got school. I read my Bible in school. I go to church. I hear the word preached at church. Why do I have to read it on my own? Because that's your responsibility for Jesus Christ who's living inside of you, is to read your Bible on your own, to think about God on your own, to pray on your own, not just when you come to church, just not when you're in school and in that chapel. And I know that you do all those things here, and that's the Christian thing to do. But for most people, that's enough. They don't want to do anymore. I go to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You all say, well, I go to school every day, so I'm basically in church 5 days a week, and then I go to church on Sunday. So why do I have to do anything else? Because it's your responsibility to upkeep your home. It's your responsibility to build a nice home for Jesus Christ to live in. It's your responsibility to say, you know what, instead of playing video games for 6 hours a night, maybe I should read my Bible. Maybe I should pray once in a while by myself.
Yes.
How many of you pray by yourself?
Amen.
Because most people, when they go to church, that's the only time they pray is when they're sitting in these pews. And they listen to the preacher pray and they say amen. And that's it. Or they might come to the altar, but they don't do it at home.
Right.
And I'm guilty of that. There's days that I don't pray. I'll be honest with you. I'm human, and that's what happens. I get caught up in the world, and I'm not maintaining my home for Jesus Christ. I don't read my Bible every day. And you say, oh, well, you preach it. You should read your Bible every day, and you don't. Be honest with you, I don't. And that's my fault. That's me not doing what I'm supposed to do for Jesus Christ. I'm not feeding him good food. I'm not necessarily going out and watching bad things. I'm not doing anything bad, but I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Our responsibility as Christians, we have Christ dwelling inside of us, so we are his home. Consider, are you a good home or a bad home? Are you a home that just looks good, that really inside, nobody really wants to be there? There's really nothing there? Or are you a home that's run down and needs maintenance? Maintenance means you're fixing things that are broke. You're fixing things that maybe you need to say, you know what, I shouldn't be on Facebook and MySpace for 4 hours a night. Maybe I should read my Bible. Maybe I should think about God. Maybe I shouldn't be on a computer or on video games 4 hours a night. Maybe I should do things for God. Maybe I should pray. Maybe I should read my Bible. Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should help around the house. How many of you have chores? How many of you do them without being told to do them? Oh, look at that. Almost everyone's hand went down. Imagine that. Maybe you ought to go home and say, you know what? I have chores to do. That's my job for my home, is to do my chores. Just like it's my job to read my Bible, my job to pray. And I don't do that, but I should do that. And I know I should do that, but sometimes, like, I really don't have time. And I know a lot of times kids will say, well, I got chores, but you know what? I'd rather go play on a computer. I had a hard day at school today. I just want to go relax, and I'm going to go play video games all day. Do what you're supposed to do at home for your parents, for your physical home, and do what you're supposed to do for your spiritual home, for Jesus Christ. Because he is the most important person in your life, is Jesus Christ. If you take care of him, everything else will take care of itself. Yeah. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing for Jesus, you're feeding your home, then you'll take care of your physical home too, because you'll do the things you're supposed to do. You'll be the type of person that your parents hoping you turn out to be.
Yes.
I mean, I bring my kids to church. Have my kids here in school. I'm hoping they turn out to be a certain way. There's no guarantee that'll happen, but I'm doing what I can for that to happen. It's their responsibility to do what they can to make that happen. Your parents have you here for a reason. Hopefully you come to church to learn. Hopefully you come to school to learn about Jesus Christ and about God, and you desire to do that. Consider your ways. And you can. There's so many things you can preach on through that verse, but I love that saying, consider your ways. Because as Christian people, we don't usually consider our ways. We get caught in a rut. Well, I go to church. Wednesday, I go to church. Sunday, I go to school. My ways are great. My ways are fine. But are they really? Are your ways good enough for Jesus Christ? Are your ways good enough for the home that he lives in? Think to yourself, does Christ really want to live in my home? Does he really want to be there? Do I make it enjoyable for him? Do I make it a place where he wants to be? Is there love there? Is there peace there? Is there good food there? Consider your ways. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you again for this opportunity, Lord.